Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason Ophir, here with my co-host, Sherry Pang. Sherry, hello.
Hey, how you doing? I'm doing really well. I'm going to go and intervene really quick. Our guest is coming from England, UK, and he's asking, he says, what is the world code for America? He's saying it's not recognized. Can we do it on Messenger chat? The call will continue, cost a fortune. So would you go and if you can, if there's a possibility, you can tell him. I don't know. he needs to know what the world code is.
Let me consult Google.
Yeah, Facebook Messenger. So
I guess it would just be the U.S. code is just 1, so we can just dial 1 and then that number.
I'll just let him know. Okay, dial 1, right? And then would you go and dial 1 and it's 215? Hello?
I wouldn't think it'd be so hard to connect across seas.
Exactly. I don't know what's going on. He just needs to dial 1 and then 215 and then 383 and then 3999. So we're on
that
air right now
work.
And I'm having him on video. So if you can call in, is there a way you can call in? Yes. Okay. Is there a way? See, he's on Facebook Messenger. Is there a way that he can talk on Facebook Messenger via phone?
Well, I'm on the Facebook Messenger with you. What to you?
So, Jason.
This is all happening live, folks.
Yes.
What's that, Sherry?
Is there a possibility that he could, is there a possibility he can be on Facebook Live, Facebook Messenger on Live like that? No.
Not that I'm aware of. The last time we tried this, I tried calling and it didn't work either. So I don't know. I know there's a way to do it. But as far as I can tell, it should just be 1 and then the number, but it probably cost a fortune. I don't know. I don't know how Skype works, basically.
That's what he said. It's going to cost a fortune. Yes, and don't even. Wow.
You would think with all this amazing technology, there'd be some cheap, easy way to do this. So I'm not
right.
Clear.
Let me see if you can hear him, okay? Because I'm going to accept his call from Facebook. What?
I mean, I could barely hear him, but it's not going to go over very well.
Can you talk, Jason?
Yeah. Hello, how are you?
Pretty good. Can you hear him? Can you hear each other?
Yeah, I can hear him.
Okay. Jason, what do you think?
I can hear it. I can hear it. I don't know how well it's going to translate across, but if that's the only option, that's the only option.
My only thing is, me calling in, because I'm in England, it's going to cost a fortune.
Yeah, that's definitely not worth it.
I have.
Maybe. I wonder if there's a way we can pre-record or do something. Because I don't think it's going to translate real well. I mean, because I can hear him, but it's not very loud.
Okay.
So if we get really, really close to the screen and do it like this, I'll do it.
It doesn't sound.
Can you hear him?
It sounds kind of distant. It doesn't sound super clear, but it's hard to know without
he
actually
said he
going
distant.
Back.
It doesn't sound super clear.
I can hear him.
He says he can hear you.
I don't know. It's your call. You want to? We can try and do it that way.
You know what? We're going to have to continue the show. We can try it and see what happens, and we may have to. Does it sound like he's in a tunnel? Is that why, Jason? He sounds like he's in a tunnel?
It's probably going to be difficult for the listeners to hear. My instinct is we're just going to have, like, maybe we should work on this and figure this out. There has to be another way to do
this.
This
is crazy, but he woke up at 3:30 in the morning so that he can do the show. This is the second time. I feel so bad for him. Yeah.
I'm at a loss. I'm not sure. We're going to have to put our minds on this. I was under the impression it was going to work this time, but
I don't know anything about Skype. I don't have Skype myself, so you know, I thought maybe we can. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Okay. So you want to just continue with Jason K, or do you want to just try and see if we can pre-record?
I would be inclined to see if we can come up with another option, because it just due to sound quality. I know
he's
that sucks.
Jason, he's worried about the sound quality, that the listeners are not going to be able to listen to you. You sound like you're coming from a tunnel. The sound quality. He says he can hear you, but whether it's going to come through, because we're live on air. We're not like with the other show where we pre-record. So we're literally live on air, and so he wants the quality as being as best as possible.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said,
I've taken the Skype.
Yeah.
I've taken all the details of Skype, so that would have been the easiest option, but the calling-wise, the only apprehension with the calling is,
right.
I'm calling from England to you. If I call for an hour, that'll be astronomical.
Yeah, that'll be cost so much money. Yeah, that's what he's worried about, which I don't want you to pay. That's not the reason why we want you to do that, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, we got to continue on, and you're willing to listen. I don't know. It's crazy. Oh, my gosh. But anyway, Jason, what's going on? How are things going with you, Jason Ophir?
Going okay. Well, I'm going to put my brains on this and see if we can't come up with a more viable option. But nothing much going on with me, just been busy with work. And but I did want to mention a legitimate news story I literally just came across 10 minutes ago, which was some 78-year-old man, and this is a real news story. Like, it was not like on some of those fringe news places. This was like the city news, whatever, for I think it was St. Louis. Anyway, some 78-year-old man died. I guess he was at home, died at home. You know, the coroner comes and declares him dead. They put him in a body bag. They take him to the funeral home to get embalmed. And he wakes up and freaks out the funeral home people. Somehow he came back to life. And he was, like, in this body bag for, like, 2 hours. It's crazy.
And he was embalmed?
He wasn't embalmed yet, but, you know, they were fixing to do what they do, and he miraculously came back alive. So I thought that was kind of interesting. He obviously wasn't.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I've heard that before as well.
Yeah, Jason said he's heard that as well.
Well, yeah.
It happened as well with a young person in Argentina.
Oh, he said it happened with a person in Argentina as well.
Isn't that wild? Well, I know back in the olden days when people died.
Very crazy.
When people died.
Obviously, their means of the spirit world were not men, so the time was, I'm sorry, mate, you got to go back.
So Jason says, as a spiritualist, he said at the time it wasn't meant for him to cross over yet, basically.
I guess there must be greater forces at work. Either that or there was a really terrible doctor and he wasn't actually dead. Can you imagine the chair?
That's crazy.
The person who was actually changed over coming back from the dead would be a totally different person.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Yeah, the composition of a person being dying and then coming back. That's what Jason's talking about. my goodness. Yeah, it's like close to near-death experiences or just, you know, what is it, human error? Can you imagine you being a body bag thinking you're dead and then you come back to life?
No, that's a nightmare. That's like one of the worst things ever. You know, you're zipped in a bag. That's terrible. Hey, Sherry, I'm going to try to call Jason again. Can he put his number in Facebook, our little thing we got going on, and I'll try it again.
Okay, so can you put your number on the Facebook Messenger, and then Jason's going to try you right now, and we're just going to be – I'm not hanging up on you.
Okay.
I'm not hanging up on you.
You want my mobile number?
You want his mobile number, Jason?
Sure, whatever
number. Whatever number that's going to connect.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
We'll see if this works.
Okay, if you see if it works. Okay, he just hung up. Yeah, it's crazy. I feel really bad for this guy because he wakes up at 3:30 in the morning to make sure that he's on our show. This is our second time, and it's like I feel really bad that the guy, you know, he just wants to share his experiences and his knowledge as a spiritualist to be able to go and help people and just deliver different messages and things like that.
Unfortunately, Blog Talk Radio doesn't have a whole lot of options for calls. I mean, you can Skype in. You can call with, you know, your cell phone, your traditional landline, and then that's about it. I have the ability to call via internet connection, but I remember the last time I tried, it didn't work, so it must not work internationally. But who knows? As soon as I get the number, I'm going to try it again. But what's
okay.
been going on with you, Jerry?
I've just been just working and working out. I'm still continuing to doing the bodybuilding, so getting ready for bikini. And, you know, I've just been just busy working. I've been very blessed. Yeah,
busy,
just
busy.
Working and bodybuilding.
How's that bodybuilding going?
Good. I'm injured a little bit right now, so I got to take a week off. But, yeah, just a little bit. The traps are a little bit pinched. The nerves are pinched. And so, yeah, Jason is already going in. And Jason, right now, go ahead and check the number. He's already left the number on the Facebook.
Yeah, I got it plugged in. I'm just making sure it's the right one. Hold on.
Okay.
Are you shredded yet?
Am I shredded yet? Not yet. I'm starting to. I'm right now going on a very slow.
The number you have dialed has not been recognized. Please try again.
It doesn't recognize the number.
Huh. Okay. So he doesn't recognize the number.
Does he have a country code?
Do you have another number?
Does he have a country code? Or was that just...
Okay.
That must be the country code. That he's got on there. Numbers outside of the U.S. are so alien to me.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know how we have area codes?
Okay.
It's crazy. Yeah, so I guess I don't know. It doesn't look like it's going to let me call him.
Because it's too far. It's too far or something? Okay.
I wouldn't think. I mean, it's over the internet. I mean, it's probably the national security.
I know, and I did work over in Scotland the other day. We were in Scotland. I was doing a reading in Scotland. And then about a month ago, I was doing one in Dubai, and it's all through Facebook Messenger. So he sent me to 0701368704.
Yeah, it doesn't work. Hold on.
Okay.
Talk for a second while I do some troubleshooting
okay.
here.
Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy. But I really enjoy being on Paranormal Horizons, and I'm going to say this. Right now we're on a halt. I don't know if we're going to continue with Portals to Enlightenment, your journey of body, mind, and spirit. So there's personal issues. There's some really major personal medical issues that are going on with the two producers. So we're now right now looking at, I'm looking at anyway, looking for a different network to join just in case. And it's nice to be able to be have that flexibility and, you know, have our options open. So for the last, I think, 2-3 weeks, we haven't had either Paranormal Horizons or Portals to Enlightenment on air on Spotify or Alexa. Things have, like I said, the things have been put to a halt. So, but we're, you know, it's good to be able to be back on Paranormal Horizons, and you know, that's my home, and I'm just really happy to be there. So, you know, it's home, and you know, Jason Ophir has built this radio station, you know, a couple of years before I joined on, and it's just really it's just been blooming, and we're really, really having a big following, and it's just wonderful. So I just want to, you know, just congratulate Jason, you know, for just having the gumption to be able to start and create this one. But we're going to continue. I'm never going to leave. Jason and I, we talked about it, but I'll never leave this place. Hopefully, knock on wood, you know, and just we're going to be just growing it. So you never know what any type of opportunities will come with this radio station and Paranormal Horizons. So, but anyway, these guys are trying to connect, and we're really sorry for not being able to go and get our act together tonight. It's just one of those things where, you know, it's just technical difficulties, and you know, just kind of hang in there. We just go with the flow, and it just happens the way it's supposed to. So. But, yes, if you have any questions or you want to go and share your experience in the paranormal or the metaphysical or the spiritual, please call in at 1-215-383-3999. Again, it's 1-215-383-3999. So any questions or anything you want to talk to or you want to have any share your experiences, please call in. Anyway, in the meantime, well, Jason's trying to get a hold of Jason Keeling from, we call that the United Kingdom. He's actually ain't from England, but I don't even know where the city is. But he's trying to get a hold of him and trying to connect. So that will be awesome. Would love to have that happen. And yes.
I don't think I'm going to be able to do it. Okay. I guess
Okay. We may just have to pre-record or something, if that can be possible.
Yeah.
Go ahead and just
We'll figure something out.
Okay.
So he's got to have a world system. It's like you have to have a paid Skype account to do it. And
okay.
Yeah, as far as I was able to tell. But anyway.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
All right, just keep on going. Yeah, that's too bad that we're not be able to connect. I think that he would be a wonderful guest.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's just kind of disappointing. Oh, my goodness. The guy is awesome. I love talking to him, and he's just got a good heart. So, but anyway, what else is happening with you, Jason? What else can we talk about?
Well, I haven't heard a lot going on in the paranormal, just that one story a few minutes ago. I'm officially on vacation, so I do not have to go to work for the next, 9 days. And I have my mama flying in tomorrow, so I can spend some time with my mom. Just going to go explore the beautiful Northwest, the beautiful state of Oregon.
Wow, anything in particular that you guys are going to go?
I think we're going to go to the coast, and then I know there's kind of this Pioneer Cemetery in Central Oregon, which is really cool to take pictures, so I'll take my DSLR camera out there and take some pictures and just hang out, get a little quality family time. I don't have any family in the state of Oregon, so I'm all by my lonesome. So I don't get to see my family very often. It's probably been maybe 3 years since I've seen my mom.
Oh, wow.
So. Yeah, so that'd be cool.
How's your dad doing?
He's doing okay. He been recovering from, I guess he fell in a Walmart parking lot and like broke his leg.
Ew.
And you know, at his age, he's 80 years old. And, you know, I work at a hospital, as many people that listen to the show know. And I see people a lot younger that, you know, have something like that and they don't bounce back, but he seems to be doing pretty well. It's amazing.
Wow.
It astonishes me, like immunology and stuff like that vary from person to person. You have one person that has, you know, an illness or an injury and that, you know, they hardly get sick. And then you have the next person, same exact thing, and they're on their deathbed. It's fascinating.
Jeez. Yeah, I'm really glad. Yeah. He just messaged and he says, I think we need to do a pre-record, if we can do a pre-record.
Oh, yeah, let me put my brain on that and see how we can do that.
Okay.
I'll figure it out. I'm going to have to do some research, but I got the time to do it because I'm on vacation, so I'll figure it out.
Yeah. I'm glad you're going to be on vacation. So how long your mom's going to be? A few days, you said?
Yeah, a few days. Just hang out. I might plug her into my virtual reality setup. I'm not going to – no scary games.
Is she going to stay with you or is she just going to get a hotel?
Nah, she's going to get a hotel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep. But other than that, you know, not a whole lot going on. Just living the dream.
Cool.
Living life.
Cool. So anyway, what else can we talk about? We didn't even think about it because I'm just assuming that we were able to have Jason on. So I said, I didn't even do any research. But, I was going to tell you, I was at the Oregon Ghost Conference. And to those of you who know Clyde Lewis, he's the host of Ground Zero. He's on many syndicated radio stations throughout the U.S. on FM station and iHeartRadio. And I was on Clyde Lewis's show. I think it was Monday. Was it Monday or Tuesday? I can't remember. They all melt together. But I was on a show for an hour with June Lundgren. So we talked about a little bit about the dark entities that were there and the dark fields that were at the Oregon Ghost Conference. So it was quite interesting. And, it was just quite strange, the energy. But I saw David Weatherly, got a chance to talk to Ross Allison, you know, Jeff Davies, just a couple of these guys. Actually, I probably talked to six of these guys that have been on our radio show and, you know, waiting for David and Ross to come back on a show and to talk about haunted lightships. So, yeah, it's going to be great. I mean, it's amazing to rub shoulders, and these guys are just amazing guys. Really nice, really, really nice people.
Yeah, great, great guests. Hey, what's it going to take? Maybe we should see about me getting on there and talking about that crazy UFO thing I had. That would be fun.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, next week, if that's okay, I'm going to be doing a show, and so I'm going to be gone for 3 days, but I think next week, I think Maria's going to come back on, and you guys, you're going to talk about your UFO experiences. I think that's what she was talking about. She was trying to think of something to cover for the next week's show while I'm on tour. So I'm on tour for 3 days, and she will cover next week for an hour.
So oh, very
cool.
Part
two. Yay!
Part two. It's been a while since I.
And I'll work on getting a guest when I came back on. So.
Yeah, I like it. So, you know, I like occasionally when we just get a chat. You know, it's just like a broadcasted phone conversation. I kind of like that.
Right.
Like
oh my gosh. So what do you think about all the energies or anything? Are people getting strange? Are you noticing anything weird? People think about the Mercury retrograde and the energies of the Earth and everything else. Are you feeling that, Jason, or are everything's kind of, you know, you just go from one day to next?
Well, I don't notice anything. I've heard one or two people say they felt off. I don't really buy it, but I don't really subscribe to all that planetary stuff. But it would make sense that it exists, you know, the moon and the tides and all this cosmic stuff that I don't understand. But I haven't noticed anything. In terms of, you know, I work in a hospital. It's always crazy, and I haven't really noticed it being any more crazier than usual. So, it's always crazy.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. It's just the energy's for me, and I don't think, oh my gosh, Mercury retrograde, but I'm finding that the emotions are pretty high and very intense, and I don't know if that has anything to do with, you know, the planets aligning. I'm not really into it. I'm kind of more or less practical part of me, you know. But I was very blessed to, you know, being able to really help bring some closure at the Ghost Conference. I do want to say that. A lot of people that needed healing, a lot of tears and a lot of happiness, a lot of joy, things like that. So I was able to share that.
Oh, that's very good. Need to always spread more cheer and joy. But no, I never think about planetary alignment. But, you know, us being biological creatures living on this planet, hurtling through space, you know, we're subjected to various cosmic waves and radiation, so it wouldn't surprise me if there's interconnectedness between the planets. But that's way beyond my brain power. I'm a working man. I'm not an intellectual.
Especially tonight.
You know, I try and watch a video on quantum theory and mechanics and string theory and all that, and watch these videos that are for dummies, and it's all dumbed down, and I still don't get it. It's just beyond me to grasp. It's amazing how some people are just like super, super smart, you know, and like Stephen Hawking and that can figure out all this stuff. But that's what it's like to be diverse on the planet. You have super, super smart intellectuals, and then you have big ogre-like brutes such as myself that aren't dumb, but we're just, you know, the lay people.
But you know what? That's not your expertise. That's what I'm saying. Your expertise is, you know, your other avenues of communication. It doesn't have to be that. It could be anything that you wish to have. So, yeah, it's just I find that, you know, if you can find the things that you're passionate about, that's wonderful.
But even if I tried to force it down my throat, I don't think, you know, I'm just not wired for that kind of brain power.
Yeah.
I'm smart. I'm
computers
smart in other
is
ways.
Not my forte. Computers and, you know, doing stuff on the computer is not my forte. I could really, to be honest with you, I could care less. I miss writing letters. Have you ever written a letter, Jason, with a cursive? You ever, you know, it's like that's becoming very extinct.
It is. And, yes, I am at that age when back in the day growing up, cursive, it was the bomb. It was the thing. That's what you had to write in. And it's funny you mention that. Well, kind of funny. I just was reading something about that not too long ago, how that's actually disappearing from schools. Our society is evolving. Cursive is a thing of the past. And some people see cursive that have never learned it, don't even know how to read it. So, yeah.
Wow.
But I can't even remember the last time I wrote a letter. I don't even know when that was. That was probably 32 years ago. I don't write and I don't read. I YouTube and I Google.
You don't
Google.
Write and you don't read, right? Really?
Yeah, no. I have trouble reading. I mean, I can read fine, but, you know, it's just not one of my – it's not my thing. I'm like – I'm kind of an unlike – I am a computer person. I'm not an expert, but, you know, my first computer was a Commodore 64 back in the 80s. And I've always had a computer, and so I'm pretty good with a computer. You know, and of course, I love technology. I love my virtual reality and all that. But, yeah, I am kind of a tech person.
Wow, that's great. I should have you help me. Hey, I was going to ask you, did you and Clyde, Clay Faulkner, did you guys get your palm or geomancy red or anything like that?
No, we didn't do that. And he made a good point that he doesn't, because we had a couple people call in that wanted readings, and it's not that he can't do readings over the phone. It just, you got to have that personal connection. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Having somebody there, I think that's important. He recognized that, and he didn't want to slight anybody with, you know, a reading that where they weren't in person, because it's a stronger reading when you get the energy off the person. It's a little difficult.
Right, exactly. And, you know, there's people that, you know, don't want to do readings, and as an example, and a reading over the phone, and that's okay. It doesn't mean that you can't read. Yeah. It's just everybody's different.
Yeah, and I understand that. I mean, it's important to have the person there. You know, we pick up a lot of stuff subconsciously. We all have energy, and I think it's important to be sitting across the person when you do that. But also, you also know I'm skeptical with all that as well. So.
Yeah, you have to be, and I think that's really healthy. I don't think that you should be going in there being blind about it, but you want to have that balance of being skeptical, but also having your foot in the door of being able to see the things that are unknown or that cannot be felt or seen or touched or anything like that.
Yeah, and I kind of nurture my skepticism and watch a lot of videos from James Randi, who was a very famous magician. He's still alive, I believe. He would go on TV and debunk all these psychics, and he had this $1 million challenge where if anybody could prove that psychic powers was real, he would write them a check. Actually, the check was already written for $1 million. So these people would go on television and perform all these things, and he was able to debunk all of them. And so I think being skeptical is good.
Yeah.
Open but skeptical.
Yeah, being skeptical. Yeah, exactly.
You can't
but you
be
don't
totally
want to be
shut
skeptical.
Off.
You become closed-minded that nothing is possible. There's a difference, right?
Absolute. There's an absolute difference. Yes. I mean, if you close yourself off, then you're just not opening of yourself to things that may exist out there. I mean, we don't know everything about the universe. There's stuff that we haven't figured out scientifically, and there's things that they're just starting to learn with the Large Hadron Collider, you know, smashing atoms together and discovering new things, quarks, and all this other stuff. And so we don't know everything, and to shut yourself off is kind of doing yourself a disservice, because there's still a lot of knowledge out there to be discovered.
So, have you done your DNA thing? I was going to ask you, talking about when Clyde Lewis, I don't know, was he on our show when he talked about the family tree or DNA? Well, I know he was on my show, on the Portals of Enlightenment show, and he talked about 23andMe. Was he on the show about talking about the 23andMe?
No, I think I heard some blurbs about that, and I bit the bullet, and the reason I bit the bullet is I'm adopted, and I don't know anything, and I spent my whole life thinking I was Native American, and I think I mentioned this when I talked about myself, but I did do 23andMe, and I also did the other one, Ancestry.
Oh, wow, really? Okay. So what was the results? Were they consistent, or were they entirely different of the results of your DNA?
I wouldn't say they were entirely different. They were similar, but they certainly weren't exact. Actually, if you talk for a second, let's do this live. I'll let not that anybody cares, but I'll tell you exactly what they are. Hold on. Just give me a moment.
Okay.
Maybe you can sing a song for us. Do you know any good songs?
I'm terrible. My voice is horrible. My singing. I wish I had a good voice. And I know when I think of, when I think of different songs, and I have my speakerphones on, and I'm singing, and my husband will say, "Wow, you sound horrible." I've caught myself, and I was like, "I'm really out of tune." Oh my goodness! But you know, it's great. I love singing. I love music. I, you know, if anything, I like to go and just zone out to different kinds of music. So, hey, what kind of music do you like to listen to, Jason?
I listen to everything.
Everything you do?
I like to listen to most.
Depending on my mood, I'll listen to country. I like to listen to Christian rock. I like to listen to soul. I used to like to, I like listening to slow jams, which is soul music, rhythm and blues. I like to listen to smooth jazz. You know, it just depends on my mood. Electronic music, sometimes a little bit of rap, depending on who it is, like Toby Mac. He's a Christian rap singer. I like him. So, you know, it just depends on my mood. I like listening to kind of the oldies, you know, maybe the Four Tops sometimes, or a Tower of Power or War or something. So, you know, I can go very diverse.
Yeah, I like everything from heavy metal to techno. But here, okay, so here are my DNA results. This
okay.
is the 23andMe. So, and mind you, I thought that, because I was born in New Mexico, I thought that I was like Native American. I really felt connected to that culture. So this was a disappointment for me because I'm basically just like everybody else. I'm not special. I am 95.5% European. That's 78.9% Northwestern European. That's includes 35% British Irish, 16.1% French, 4.4% Scandinavian, oh, and 0.1% Finnish. And I guess I have 6% Spanish Portuguese and 2.9% North Asian or Native American. So yeah, that's kind of a drag. I'm like the goulash of DNA. I'm like the buffet
wow.
of DNA.
How much Native American you have in you?
2.9%.
Wow, that's okay. That's very small.
Yeah, my people.
I was very shocked when my DNA.
I
set my DNA, so I'm waiting for the results. But I went through and I took Clyde Lewis's. He's a personal friend of mine, and his wife and I work out together. She's a bodybuilder, and she's doing bodybuilding, and I'm doing bikini. And so we talked about it, and I wasn't going to go through 23andMe. My daughter gave me a gift, and she went through Family Tree because supposedly Family Tree does not sell your DNA. They don't collect your DNA, and they don't sell it. So I went through Family Tree, and I'm waiting for the results. But my oldest daughter had her results, and my first husband, who is now passed on, he is deceased. He has a lot of European. He's got, you know, Pennsylvania Dutch and, you know, just a mixture of different things. I'm German, mainly German, Pennsylvania Dutch, that kind of thing. But me being with the Asian culture, I thought, oh, I'm adopted too. I must be Chinese. No. They found out with my daughter, she's 42% on my side. She's literally 42% Vietnamese and 8% Chinese. So I'm Vietnamese.
Isn't
that shocking? Yeah. So I'm mostly Vietnamese. I got a little bit of Chinese, but I'm mostly Vietnamese. So I did see some pictures of the family that were related to me because my daughter reached out to the relatives. And, yeah, they kind of have similarities. I mean, and the first thing my daughter wasn't know because she, you know, she doesn't know too much about the features. And I've been around, you know, grew up in the Bay Area. I'm around all kinds of Asians and, you know, Japanese, Chinese, Koreans, you know, Thai, Cambodian, Samoans, you know, you name it. You are a minority being white, and it's a majority of different races and mixed cultures in the Bay Area or Silicon Valley where I grew up. And she says, Mom, she said, what do you think these people are? And I said, they look Vietnamese. She said, yep. She said, those are our relatives. They match our DNA. I said, you're kidding me. It's like it was shocked, totally shocked. So, I'm just interested.
So the one thing about Family Tree, I read this story months ago, and I just pulled it up just now as you were talking. A lot of people have an issue with Family Tree because they allow the police to search their DNA database. Doesn't even sound like there's warrants. So I guess if you're a criminal, you should probably not use that service. Of course, they're looking for suspects and stuff like that. But yeah,
They can do that for anything, huh?
Well, they probably need a warrant or some sort of court order from the other places. But it sounds like it's just kind of an open thing with. Sounds like Family Tree is just open source DNA. Anybody could just look up DNA. So apparently the police do it, and apparently they've made some arrests from doing it. I was hesitant to do the DNA thing, any of it, because I am a low-level conspiracy theorist, and I can see our DNAs being disseminated places they couldn't. But it was more important to me to know what I am, because the only reason I did it because I was adopted. So I kind of weighed risks and benefits.
Exactly. And the thing too, Jason, is that with the DNA, especially if you do the medical, you want to know what kind of things that you might have a chance of, you know, whether you have arthritis or you have, you know, heart issues or something like that. You kind of would want to know, especially being adopted. So I can understand that. But, you know, looking at it from a different point of view, you know, once you're born and you get that Social Security number, you know, you're already marked. I mean, you're already tagged.
Yeah, I mean, you can go off the grid as much as you want, but nowadays you'll never get off of it. I mean, you can live a cabin out in the woods, but, you know, I kind of surrendered to it because they're watching everything. They are watching everything. Not necessarily a person sitting there at a screen, but information and data is being stored. That's why the NSA just built some massive data center. You know, you have all these projects that are declassified. They're not even secrets anymore. A lot of stuff came out when Edward Snowden released all those documents. There's Project Echelon, which anybody just Google that, and that's just the mass surveillance of, you know, pretty much everything. So, and who knows what the government's doing that we're not even aware of at this point. It's scary. But the United States isn't the worst. There are other places, you know, even, I mean, in England, Europe, UK, you know, they got a lot more cameras everywhere. But the worst, I think, offender that I've heard about is China. You drive down a freeway in China and literally every 100 yards there's traffic cams. You know, they've assigned people, you know, scores. You have a number, and, you know, some people are getting refused service at stores because people can – you basically are issued – basically other people rate you. With an application, I think it is. And if people say you're a bad person, then it affects your score. And some people, I guess, are thrown into prison. It's just this really big scam. But China is just like a super big brother over there.
Wow. And can you imagine being part of that? Oh, my goodness. You know, is there a way you can escape from that type of communism and everything? That's just horrible. It's just all a matter of control. That's what it is.
At least when the U.S. does it, it's in the background. You don't hear about it usually. You don't know it's happening. But in places like that, it's in your face. You know, you can't go buy a purse at the store because you're not allowed to go in because you have a low score. You know.
Wow,
it's just going to get worse.
Isn't that whether it's racial or financially profiling somebody, isn't that wrong?
It doesn't have everything to do with financial. It's not just financial. It's everything. I mean, if people just say you're a bad person and it affects you, and then you reap the repercussions of that, it's just, you know, and I imagine other countries are going to go that direction as well. One day we're all going to have microchips and be tracked everywhere. This government surveillance is just totally out of control ever since 9/11, the Patriot Act, and you know, there's so many agencies. It's like we're just becoming a more and more of a police state. They watch everything, internet traffic, everything, telephone conversations, metadata, surveillance, and they fly around in airplanes and capture cell phone data with various devices.
Oh, really?
And that's
they
not,
do that?
That's not,
oh, my gosh.
Yep. It's not even a conspiracy theory. It's known. They have these devices that they can put in airplanes, they can drive vans, and they can capture. So what they're doing is your cell phone sends a signal, right, to a tower. So they have these devices that mimic a cell phone tower. So instead of your signal from your cell phone going to the tower, it goes to this device, and then, you know, they capture all the information from it. And yeah, it's totally police state.
Wow.
What can you do?
Yeah.
I mean, in today's society, you're going to move out in the middle of the desert, and I mean, you know, we got jobs, we have taxes we have to pay. We're addicted to social media, me especially. You know, it's a give and take. You just, if you want to live that technological lifestyle and be in the mainstream, then that's something you got to deal with or ignore it.
Well, the thing I was, you know, reading the other day about, and I was just so, so disappointed, is how they're poisoning people in China. They would make things out of plastic, the rice out of plastic, and they would use cement, you know, for what is it, they put cement in the walnuts or something, and then the peas are made out of plastic or, you know, and oh, my gosh. I mean, how can the person go to sleep at night knowing that they're not only cheating people, but they're poisoning people, and not only their own people, but people across the world? That's just, to me, is just, it's not acceptable. I think that it's not fair, and I think that it's very embarrassing to know that these people would do that. And it doesn't have to be in China. It could be in other places that we don't know about, but the fact is, instead of making it a win-win situation where everybody comes out ahead and everybody's helping each other and looking out for each other, is what can I get out of this person? How can I cheat them? It's just
there's
wrong.
There's so much shadiness that goes on. Back in the 70s in Iraq, Iraq was shipped tons and tons of rice, and it wasn't rice for human consumption. And in fact, the rice was very toxic. It had lots of mercury. I think it was used for actually growing, but not actually like eating the things, you know. So people were washing the dye, the warning dye, off the rice. Well, the Iraqis couldn't read the bags, because they're written in like Spanish or something, you know. Hundreds of people died, you know. And there's always corporations out there that are just trying to circumvent laws to dump their waste everywhere and destroying the planet, and it's all over money. It's terrible.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
But
yeah,
what can you do?
Money.
I mean, the corporations pay off politicians. Everybody, maybe not everybody's corrupt, but a lot of people are corrupt. And unfortunately, our society is based on money and status and power. And that's great for the people that have the money and power. But the average Joes like myself and you, you know, we're just... you know, nobody.
We struggle for each stuff, you know, and
yeah.
I've been very blessed to be able to help those, but still, you know, you're not, you know, it's not like you're out there and you know, have a Mercedes or anything like that, or, you know, have a big bank account where you're, you know, it's not that. It's just you're trying to make ends meet, and it seems like this, you know, America is becoming you're either at the upper end or the lower end. There's no middle class. It's starting to become more, you know, the percentages are less and less.
Absolutely. And then you got a large portion of the population that are being fed these SSRIs, these selective serotonin uptake inhibitors for depression, anxiety, and all this kind of stuff. So everybody's brains are all whacked out. And, you know, we're just... what can you do? I mean, even the water you drink has drugs in it.
Yeah, that's what they're talking about. So, Jason, even if you work in the hospitals, are you finding that a lot of people are having on drugs? I mean, it's something like they promote, well, if you got this problem, let's go and push this. Are you finding that out, that people are on drugs?
Oh, my God. Yes. substance abuse.
Well, just ask. I don't know.
Substance abuse. You see people that have destroyed their bodies with intravenous drug abuse. They've destroyed their vascular systems. You know, they're sick. People drinking themselves to death. It's one of the reasons I quit drinking, because I used to love slamming my beers at night. And but yeah, people just, you just destroy their bodies. And I do it too, but not with drugs. I do it with tacos and pizza. It's probably almost
that would
as
be
bad.
But, more like tacos and pizza. That's my personality too. Yeah, I know. I just but, not into that kind of, you know.
Suicide attempts,
exactly.
Suicidal ideation. You know, it's endemic. I mean, the people are depressed out there. People have issues, and you know, I don't really have any context, because I've never worked. I've only worked at one hospital, but there's a lot of sad people out there, and a lot of, you know, drug abusers, and it not only is it bad for them and their family, and it's tragic because they end up killing themselves or being criminals, but it taxes our healthcare system. I mean, this is why we pay so much money for healthcare, and the reason you get so many people go to the emergency room for things that they shouldn't be in an emergency room for. I would say probably half the people in the ER shouldn't be going to their PCP or their, not their drug PCP, but their primary care physician or urgent care, is the reason they go to the ER, is because they know the urgent care won't take them without insurance, or if they can't pay cash right then and there. So you can always go to an ER, and by law, the ERs have to treat you. So that's why people go to the
ER.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. So that's a catch-22.
So you get the ERs bogged down with I don't want to say nonsense, but non-life-threatening problems, when there are people out there that have, like, legitimate life-threatening issues, and it taxes the whole healthcare system because bills aren't getting paid.
So, you know, me, I'm kind of off the beaten path, but, you know, I think between education and healthcare, as citizens of the United States, or just as Americans, we should be able to not have to worry about, you know, paying an arm and a leg to die, or to give birth, or, you know, just being sick, let alone education. I think, to me, and this just is me ideally, is I like to see that for free, have the best of the education, and also the best of healthcare. People that are, you know, not just, you know, the bottom of the rung, you know, but people that are really skilled in whatever area they are. I think that's to me, if we can ever have a system like that, I think the world would be in a better place. But again, it's the government. They probably would have to pony up a lot of the cost, you know, to help people.
Well, they don't want to take money out of their coffers for invading other countries and, you know, fighting other people's battles. Sure, if we stopped doing those sorts of things, there'd be plenty of money for healthcare. But I wanted to add one thing. Anybody that is listening to this, the people that work in hospitals are amazing. And I hope everybody out there recognizes that. It is not easy work. It is extraordinarily stressful. And the stuff that you have to put up with is mind-shattering. So hats off to all the healthcare workers out there.
It's a lot of coordination and helping and everything else. And I would say that the majority of people are there for the right reason. They care about people and they want to help people. But you know, at any other place, you're going to find a few bad apples in the bunch. So, you know, it's like, you know, you're going to find some people that are not right there and really deserving, or, you know, having the right intentions of helping people. They're just there. And this is what gets me, is I don't like it when you go and do any type of service, whether it's healthcare or you're even getting your car washed. You just know. Well, as a psychic medium, you just know the energy is that you're just there to pick up a paycheck. They really could care less about, you know, customer service. They want to be able to just go pick up a paycheck and just do their time. And it shows. It shows with their energy. It shows with their customer service. And I'm not bitching or complaining. It's just my observation of looking from the outside in. There's very few people that love what they do, and they go out of their way to make sure that they are going above and beyond to make sure that they bring value to whoever they serve.
Absolutely. I think part of it, I think a lot of people, probably most people that take healthcare jobs, particularly in acute care settings, probably start off with good intentions. And yeah, you're always going to have bad apples, but what I see that happens is just burnout, because you deal with a lot of toxic people, and over years and years, you just kind of get numb to the whole thing. And
that's
it's the same
time.
Thing.
Yes, me. It's time to get out. When you get to that point where you get burned out or you get callous, time to go find another occupation or start turning inwards and figure out why you have an attitude and should not reflect upon other people, especially healthcare. You know, you've already had, like you said, toxicity. You have attachments. You have sometimes you have some, you know, paranormal things that are happening. That's what you need is something that is somebody that is not willing to, you know, just going there just to do their time so they can get retirement. I think that's the wrong time. That's the wrong reason. But, you know, that's just me. That's me. You've got to live your passion.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, if you do anything long enough, you're likely to get burned out. But hats off to everybody that works in healthcare, because I get it. I've been doing it for 4 years.
I'm glad you can come home and not have to, you know, you don't have to go and you know, take it out on somebody or have those days where, oh, my gosh, I'm tired, I'm done, you know, kind of thing.
The thing that gets me is, you know, I work in a laboratory. And, you know, a lot of mistakes are made in hospitals. And I'm kind
are
of the
really?
Last. Yeah, not usually serious mistakes, but sometimes. And working in the laboratory, I'm like the last line of defense to catch them. And so I catch the majority of the mistakes and am able to fix them. And so that, but I mean, everybody is working tirelessly hard. At least where I work, I've, fantastic people. I work with fantastic people. We're a very well-oiled machine.
Everybody knows what they need to do, and you work as a team.
Yeah, it's like an automated, you know, car factory. Everybody's got a job. Everybody knows what they're doing. I'm kind of like I do a little bit of everything, so I help everybody out, and it's really rewarding. You know, it's not the best paying job in the world, but, you know, you're doing your small part to help people, even though it's a very small part in the back end. You know, people don't see the laboratory, but the majority of decisions made by doctors, I think it's like 80% of healthcare decisions are made on laboratory results. So double kudos to all those that work in laboratories. We are the unappreciated few.
So can I ask you something from you know, you've been in lab for a long time. If somebody were to do a CBC, a complete blood panel, are they the results pretty accurate, or can they be botched or anything like that?
I will tell you from experience, because I do have experience, is seeing all those analyzers that are used in hospitals are – go through validations where they validate results. They go through QC to check, and it's done daily. So the analyzers are maintained to a very, very high standard to make sure that you don't get erroneous results. So everything is really everything. Every single test, everything is really, really stringent on quality control. And it's to the point of it being very obsessive, because we don't want bad results going out there. There are things that can change results, such as with the CBCs, such as hemolysis. It's usually due to a bad blood draw where the, you know, the red blood cells are exploded, and usually requires a redraw. But the other thing I noticed is it's not unusual to have an abnormal result. Usually it's a lot of people have just transient abnormal results. I was looking at several of my results, which were abnormal once, and then next time they're normal. So usually, you know, there's a range where which is considered normal, but it's not unusual to have a result that's not abnormal, or that is abnormal, and then it just kind of resolves itself. But then there are critical values, which are an emergency, and that's a problem. But yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, everything's
really
stringent.
My daughter has found out that she has thalassemia. You know what thalassemia is?
I've heard of it, and I think I've researched it a little bit, but
it's a genetic anemia that's very prevalent among Asians and Mediterranean blood.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what's going on in our blood, thalassemia. A little bit of anemia.
Well, yeah, but you can trust your results. You know, if something's funky, check it again. Those analyzers are calibrated, and they can't test exactly. So if you put a test on one, if you're running a CBC on one machine, you take the same blood and you put it on another machine, it's probably not going to read the same exact result. There's an allowable margin of error, and these analyzers keep track of that too. So if something is outside of that range when they're calibrating the machines or whatever, you know, they troubleshoot it. But yeah, nothing's exact. And I've brought this up before too. It's like, well, how come not everything is exact? Shouldn't it be exactly the same? Well, no, it's more than likely not going to be the same, but it is within an allowable variance.
Wow.
There you go. That is about as far from paranormal as you can get.
I know. And, you know, I just want to say, I want to thank, I am going to make this announcement. I want to thank all our likes and followers on Facebook. It's been phenomenal. I told Jason, I said, once we get going and, you know, we advertise different things that are amusing and entertaining, and again, these are not of our thoughts and feelings or our opinions. These are just some things to entertain our followers and our people that listen to us on radio. But this is just something to, you know, our days are just filled with seriousness, you know, whether it's trying to pay our bills, whether it's trying to keep our relationships going, trying to keep our health going. And it's good to have a laugh. And it's, even though it may be a little bit off kilter or whatever you may call it, it's something to think about. Hey, you know, it's just something different. And, you know, I just want to thank all of our listeners and our followers, that people that are following us on Facebook too. Just follow us and support us. That's phenomenal.
Yeah, Paranormal Horizons on Facebook. And our posts, even though we're just posting memes, they get out there. We, you know, we don't have a ton of followers, but yet this last week our posts have reached 130,000 people, which is pretty amazing considering we don't even have 3,000 followers yet.
I know, and we just hit 2,800, and that's just the people. That's not just the followers. That's just people liking our page. So yeah, the followers are just a little bit more, but yeah, it's just I told you it's gonna snowball. It really is, and people are just open to just having a quick laugh and being able to see something lighthearted in their daily routine. You know, just something entertaining.
Sweet, we can get millions of followers, and then we could be like internet influencers. Internet famous.
Hey, if we can go and put a smile on somebody's day, or just laugh, or just, you know, smile or laugh, I think we did our job. It's not meant to harm or anything like that. It's just something that's entertaining and being able to just lighten the load on our daily life that could be taken so seriously.
And we all need that a lot more. Well, Sherry, it looks like we're out of time. I think I'm going to go for a walk.
Okay, all right. And next week, I'm definitely going to be on tour, so I'm not going to be on Paranormal Horizons next Sunday, but Maria will take our place, the newest addition to our team. So she will take my place, and then I'll come back the next week. So, yeah, everything's all good. And, you know, I just want to thank our listeners and followers. And again, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We just really appreciate it. And thank you, Jason, for putting all the effort and keeping Paranormal Horizons. No matter what, you and I are going to be on this. We're going to keep the show going. Okay.
You do all the work. I just show up. What are you talking about?
No, you do the work that I can't do or don't want to do. So, no, like I said, a long time ago, you know, you and I complement each other. So, you know, our even though we don't get to see each other, and I like to see you more often, but the thing is that we do have an open communication. If there's anything that goes on, you know I'm there, and I know that you're there. So, yeah, so it all works good for the highest good.
Very good. Well, with that, we'll wish everybody a fantastic and safe week. And we'll see everybody next week. And I guess we're going to be talking about me some more. I guess I'll.
Yes.
I guess the plan is to talk about
with
UFOs.
Jason.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, thank you for. Sorry for the complications. We were just hoping that Jason Keeling was going to be able to get on air. But, you know, it will. We'll work it out. The guys will work it out. I'm staying out of it, but it'll work out. And, you know, we got to do what we have to do. And so. But in any ways, I just want to wish everybody lots of love and peace.
And with that, we'll close the show with a sound of a Chewbacca. We'll see everybody next Sunday, usual time, 8 p.m. West Coast. Have a great week, everybody.
Take care.
Good
Bye,
night,
everybody.
Everyone.